Next case is Hung Yang versus Alberto Gonzalez. Mr. Masucci.
Yes, good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Thomas Masucci for Mr. Yang. Your Honors, we have a case here involving admittedly only a withholding of removal claim. We acknowledge that this Court does not have jurisdiction to look at the IJ's pretermission of the asylum application. But we have a case here where the IJ clearly did not make a clean credibility determination in this case. Rather, she offers up an analysis or an assessment of whether or not Mr. Yang met his burden of proof. And this burden of proof analysis is based upon, we believe, four completely erroneous factors. Number one, an over-reliance on one date inconsistency in the record, an over-reliance on one simple sentence scribbled at the end of a credible fear interview, which otherwise seemed to corroborate and bolster Mr. Yang's claim. Utter speculation on the part of the IJ regarding other reasons why the Chinese government may have arrested Mr. Li, who had gotten Mr. Yang involved in Falun Gong in the first place, and an erroneous require for corroborating evidence. And I believe that the problematic nature of the judge's decision is laid out fairly clearly in our brief. What we do have is someone who did testify that he was a Falun Gong practitioner, that he lost his job in China on account of that, that he was and remains a focus of interest by the Chinese authorities, that he continues to practice Falun Gong here in the United States. And
why does he have such a tough time describing it? I'll have to admit, I don't understand it, but is it a physical thing? Is it psychological? Is it meditation? Is it exercises? Is it something everybody does together? But he seemed not to be able to describe, and I guess the question is, what are the five principles or movements or something?
Well, there are five sets of movements in Falun Gong.
And he didn't know what those were.
Well,
what's he been doing for a year and a half?
Well, the government, the IJ argued, and the government argues in its brief, that his being asked at during a credible fear interview whether or not he knows the five movements is persuasive, and we acknowledge that if there had been clear evidence in the record that of the questions and the responses to the questions regarding his overall knowledge of Falun Gong, that could be very persuasive, if not determinative. All we have here is, as I said earlier, just a single scribble at the end of an interview. And
what's the scribble say? You can read it.
Does not know the five movements. Five Falun Gong movements, something along those lines. And
is that the only reference? I thought there was some questioning or some discussion or whatever about what he does and to describe it, giving him a kind of a, what they call as a softball. Okay, why don't you describe this? He's been doing this a year and a half and with other people and hiding doing it and doing it.
Are you referring to the credible fear interview or at the hearing?
Well, I guess the hearing. Whatever went on, I don't know.
Well, the hearing, there was some questioning during the hearing about, you know, the principles of Falun Gong and what's involved in the practice of Falun Gong, the philosophy of Falun Gong, and he answered the questions that were asked of him, I think, completely and correctly. The judge obviously here, the judge has questions about the his level of knowledge or expertise with regard to Falun Gong, and I guess whether if that can be called into question, whether that somehow casts a pall of lack of credibility over his entire claim. But that's I'm speculating.
Well, it's his claim that he, I guess, is now dependent on it, right? I don't know what this isn't a religion. It's a practice.
It's a practice.
And he is, I don't want to use the word addicted to it, but apparently this helped his stomach.
Well,
and
actually,
Is it an addiction?
Well, actually, his parents, in his parents' letter, they refer to this as, you know, he's hooked on it.
But we have, a lot of us get hooked on things, like my daughter runs 5 miles on the trampoline, or on the treadmill. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Right.
But she seems to do it. But what is the...
Is that an addiction?
I don't know.
It confirms my reason why you stay away from that sort of thing.
I run outside. I do, though. I'm serious. Is this something that he simply can't forego? I mean, he's going to go back to China, and no matter what, he's going to do this.
Well,
when it may be something you can do in the bathroom or something. You know, I don't know. I'm just not sure about what... He's involved in all this,
right? It's
and why he can't go back to China without getting caught.
Well,
you mean once Falun Gong, always Falun Gong?
Well, I think certainly in the eyes of the Chinese government, it used to be 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the Chinese government was only interested in the so-called key members of Falun Gong, the leaders, the teachers of Falun Gong. Then it was the practitioners, and now it, based upon what's in the background, it's anyone who's perceived to be even an indirect supporter of Falun Gong, family members, and so on. So, but again, the problem from our perspective, the problem is that none of this analysis went on during the hearing. There was, again, I think that the IJ got caught up in I don't want to call it minutia, but. Certain aspects of the case that prevented her from really, you know, doing a correct burden of proof analysis, and that is, does this person, given the fact that he is a Falun Gong practitioner,
well, isn't that the issue? Is he or isn't he? And if he can't tell what he's supposed to be doing or is doing, how is he a practitioner?
Well, he said he was, and he presented evidence that he was. And our contention is that the musings of the IJ regarding that single date discrepancy and the credible fear interview don't really undercut the other evidence in the record that he is in fact a Falun Gong practitioner.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. If the whole basis for his claim is Falun Gong membership, and if he doesn't know the basics of that practice when he initially makes his claim, that completely undercuts it.
Well,
no matter what he says later to try to rehabilitate himself.
Well, it would, Your Honor, but my reading of the case law of this circuit and other circuits is that the kind of evidence that the IJ is pointing to in that credible fear interview is not it's not reliable enough to make the kind of determination that the judge seems to be making.
What's unreliable about it?
Well, it's not again it in relationship to the interview. There's no Q&A. I mean, there it's just a single assertion by the immigration official. Who knows how the question of what the five exercises are or were? How was it raised? How was it responded to? I mean, it's to me it's too perfunctory to be reliable.
Well, you've got just a little bit left, so you better sit down there. Ms. Fernandez-Harveth.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Maribel Fernandez-Harveth on behalf of the United States. I think Judge Bauer hit the nail on the head, so to speak. The issue here the main issue is whether or not the defendant was a member of Falun Gong. And the immigration judge made it clear that she did not believe he was a member. And she used several reasons to arrive at that decision. First, it was the inconsistencies in dates regarding when he began practicing Falun Gong. Now, while counsel says that it was an over-reliance on the date inconsistency, in this case, it's not a minor one. It goes to the heart of the claim. This gentleman said that he had a chronic stomach condition that he had been suffering from childhood, and that he would faint and, in fact, was hospitalized for 3 weeks because of it, and that the minute he began practicing Falun Gong, these conditions were alleviated. According to his own testimony, he stated that he would never stop practicing it, even though he was fired, even though his friend was arrested, because of the fact that it had alleviated his chronic stomach condition. So then you come to the credible fear interview, where the scribble that counsel refers to, which is on the record in Administrative Record 308, says, applicant did not know the five basic exercises. He said because he was only a member for 1 year, he had not learned a lot. Now, while counsel states that this is not reliable, the fact is that when the petitioner was questioned on cross-examination by the government, he said about the fact that he couldn't perform these five basic movements, he stated that he was nervous. So,
do you know what they are?
Do I know? No, I do not, Your Honor.
I'll tell you what.
Good, you wouldn't let you in China.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, let's say the five basic movements. I don't want to be too facetious about this, but suppose it's push-ups, sit-ups, leg lifts, and toe touches, things that a lot of people do, and somebody just named it that. And so you go do that stuff and says, well, that's Falun Gong. No, it isn't. It's whatever, Weight Watchers or something. And I don't understand how this practice is so indelibly marked on each person that they are easily identified. I don't know, what do they all go in the street and do this?
Your Honor, based on the petitioner's testimony in the before the immigration judge, he states that the essence of the performing these movements is that you have to do them outside to be in contact with nature. I have to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not sure if that is the case or not. I do know that the essence of Falun Gong is the performing of the exercises, whatever those exercises may be.
Well, and what the Chinese problem is that numbers of people are gathering together and doing these in unison, and they think that's some sort of a cult or conspiracy or something that could do something else, you know, getting together like that and maybe form some huge movement that they can't stop. That's their concern. They don't care if people get a stomach ache or not. It's a question of what is our history or the various courts' history of giving people asylum for Falun Gong?
There is
what
a case.
What do they have to show?
Your Honor, they have to. In the case of Yao versus Gonzalez, which I believe counsel cited to in his brief, this court did find that a petitioner was entitled to asylum based on the fact that members of Falun Gong are in fact persecuted in China for the practice of Falun Gong. And this court held that based on that case and based on the fact that the particular petitioner had satisfied the requirement that she was in fact a member, and in fact that she had an objective fear of persecution upon returning. In that case, because that petitioner as well demonstrated here while in Chicago against the Chinese government for its oppression of Falun Gong, the court felt that asylum was appropriate.
See, that's different. If you're going out protesting against the Chinese government and doing something political and gathering, that's their problem. If you go in the backyard, if there is such a thing in China, I don't know, and do all of this, they probably wouldn't care. And that is the standard per se. If you can show that you are a practitioner of Falun Gong, you get asylum.
I'm not sure if the standard is per se, Your Honor. I know that in the Yao case, the court felt that that particular petitioner's membership in Falun Gong, and based on her activities in China and here.
Yeah, she's singled herself out as
right.
being more than just a practitioner. She's a protester. She's
right.
somebody that's going to make trouble, political trouble, and gather others behind her and cause some sort of a mass movement. We have these Chinese cases with the forced abortion, for example, that if you can show it, and there's some discrepancy about the method of doing that and whether or not to believe them, but that is per se persecution if you have had a forced abortion or if you're the spouse of a person that had a forced abortion. I don't think we're at least at per se that if someone can show they're a Falun Gong practitioner that they get to stay here.
I don't believe that there's a per se rule regarding membership in Falun Gong as well, Your Honor. The fact is, though, that in this case, we don't even get to that analysis because the immigration judge just simply didn't believe that he was a member of Falun Gong.
Was he able to describe the principles of Falun Gong at his hearing?
He was able to describe the general principles.
Including these five exercises, which
no.
apparently form the basis of it?
No, he did not describe the five exercises.
Was he asked to?
He was not asked to. But when he was asked about it by the government on cross-examination, why he was unable to perform these movements when he was interviewed at the airport, he said that it was because he was nervous. So
it seems like a rather obvious question. Why did no one ask him at his hearing?
I don't know, Your Honor. I can't say why he wasn't asked, but I think that the judge, after his testimony, considering the fact that he had claimed that this was such a life-altering experience and gave three different dates, and when we say three different dates, we're not talking about, you know, weeks apart, months apart. One was May of 1999, the other one was June of 1998, and then the other one was September of 1998. The judge felt that, based on his own testimony, if this was such a life-altering event, why couldn't he give, he's giving all these different dates about when it actually happened. And in addition, the court found that he didn't provide any corroboration. He said that he continued to practice it every day here and that he practiced with 20 fellow practitioners, didn't provide one letter or affidavit or testimony from any of those people to show that he would in fact have an objective fear of persecution even if he were returned to China. So based on the findings of the immigration judge, the fact that she gave specific reasons for why she did not find his claim credible that he was a member of the Falun Gong, the government believes that you should uphold the decision of the BIA and deny the petitioner's request for review. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anything to add?
Just a couple of things, Your Honor. Counsel indicated that there was testimony to the effect that, quote, the minute he started practicing Falun Gong, his physical ailments disappeared, and that's not in the record anywhere. And it's I think it's more ambiguous
than that. Huh?
It's definitely more ambiguous than that. In response to your question about the rule in terms of whether past practice makes one eligible, I agree with counsel. There is no per se rule. Most of the courts have been analyzing Falun Gong under the rubric of imputed political opinion. If the Chinese government believes you to be a supporter or a practitioner of Falun Gong, they are imputing to you some sort of anti-government beliefs. And finally, the question about corroboration from the fellow Falun Gong practitioners here in Chicago. I mean, this court has previously indicated that it's unreasonable to think that a Falun Gong practitioner would want to publicly make any kind of statement in light of the Chinese government's handling of Falun Gong. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. In this case, we'll be taken under advisement. And proceed to the last case of the morning is